and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. It is written, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. It is written, and they brought a stone and laid it upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. The king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. Tis the grandest theme in the earth or main. Tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. Tis the grandest theme, tell the world again. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. So look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, The Lion's Den. The prophet Daniel had been given a scarlet coat and a chain of gold, and made third ruler in the kingdom when he preached a sermon that was right off the wall at the Feast of Belshazzar. That very night, Darius the Mede took the kingdom and slew Belshazzar. And in his efforts to reorganize the country, Darius could not help but notice Daniel. Daniel had been around for many years as a captive from Judea, and he soon found out the role he had played in the former rulers, Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, and Darius made him his secretary of state. Now, because of jealousy of Daniel, King Darius was persuaded to make a law against prayer, that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. So these men managed to catch Daniel in the act of prayer. Daniel had gone to his house, the window being opened, and prayed 3 times a day, looking toward Jerusalem. It is significant that he did not open the window was already open. And 3 times a day he prayed through the open window. The window of prayer is always open for the people of God. It is a good prayer program and needs to be used because King David himself used that method. In Psalms 55, verse 17, David said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. It might be easy to get people to pray 3 times a day if they could open the window and pray toward Washington for a handout, Perhaps some would open their window and pray three times a day if they could look toward Hollywood for the latest fashions and see what the stars are wearing or not wearing. It is better to go to the prayer window and look toward the New Jerusalem, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Also, the open window gives a better view of life. I like a room with a view. You may not live necessarily in a very good neighborhood, but if you have an upper room with a view, you can look out and see the skyline of that city that Abraham said he was looking for in Hebrews 11, a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. From that window you can look out and see the river of the water of life that flows from the throne of God. You can look out and see the hills of Zion that yield 1,000 sacred sweets before we reach that heavenly ground or walk the golden streets. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm and dare to make it known. Now think about that prayer law that was made. It is hard to imagine a nation so depraved as to make a law against prayer. I don't know the results of that edict, but my guess is it wasn't long after that that discipline became a major problem in the school system. They probably had a big problem in the matter of violence also on the streets, and they no doubt repealed the death penalty. Of course, I wasn't there, but they probably legalized abortion and made the murder of babies a matter of individual choice, and morality was stifled by pornography. So when the king's advisors told him what Daniel had done, he knew he had been hoodwinked into making that law. Now, the last thing that Darius wanted to do was to put Daniel in the lion's den. But the king's hands were tied. The law could not be changed. Surely, this must be some way out. Some precedent in former trials. Perhaps he could find one by reading in his books of law about a former trial such as Daniel versus Belshazzar, that could be used to get him out of this awkward situation. So he had his team of lawyers working from morning till evening, and they finally came up with absolutely nothing. I heard of an unbelieving lawyer one time that was on his deathbed and was found reading the Bible. Someone asked him if he was under conviction, and he said, "No, I am looking for loopholes." If the law of the Medes and Persians could not be changed, how much more is that true of the law of God? Ladies and gentlemen, there are no loopholes in the plan of salvation. Since there was no way out, there was only one thing to do, and the king did it. The king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the lion's den. Now the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, thy God whom you serve continually, he will deliver thee." The king then went home to a sleepless night and showed up early at the lion's den the next morning. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver thee from the lions?" Daniel told him, "My God hath sent his angel, and shut the lions' mouth, that they have not hurt me." I don't know if Daniel saw the angel or not, but he knew he was there, and shut the mouths of the lions. Angels work in our lives today, although we may never see them, because the scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. So they may serve us even as they served Daniel. Paul says in Hebrews 1:14, Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? And it appears that there's a special angelic service to children. Jesus said in Matthew 18:10, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven." And certainly the angels will help us as Christians at the time of death, as Jesus relates in Luke 16 about a righteous man. When he died, then it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So Daniel told the king about the little caper of the angel and how he shut the mouth of the lions. Daniel was delivered out of the lion's den, and then his enemies were thrown in, and the lions had the mastery of them and broke all their bones in pieces ever they came to the bottom of the den. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that question of Darius needs to be amplified. Hast thy God been able to deliver thee? We have our own lion's dens today. Even as the Apostle Paul said about his first appearance before Nero in 2 Timothy 4:16, Paul said, "At my first defense, no one took my part, but all forsook me. May it not be laid to their account." But then he said, "But the Lord stood by me, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." We have our lion's dens where the circumstances of life sometimes find us. And the question comes to us also, hast thy God been able to deliver thee? Well, what about the den of lions that we could call the den of the lions of devilishness? After a person becomes a Christian, the devil starts in on him real good. We will be ambushed and bushwhacked at every turn. That is why Paul said that we must walk circumspectly. In other words, survey each step of the ground. Move with caution every day and everywhere. Hast thy God been able to deliver thee? Now remember, Daniel only spent one night in the den of lions. The most dangerous time of his life was not in the den of lions, however, but in the court of pagan kings for over 60 years. The amazing thing is not how he survived one night in that lion's den, but how did he survive all the temptations of his life in the presence of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. Sometimes a Christian may wonder how they, in a similar position as Daniel, could remain true and not cave in. However, the real danger is in the den of devilishness of everyday life. What about the den of movies? What about the den of videos? What about the den of the schoolroom where evolution is taught? What about the den where people are convinced that they are animals, in which case they are because they act like animals? The den of devilishness are without number. Daniel lived most of his life in a court of corruption, political intrigue, where the environment was not conducive to living the best kind of life. If this story proves anything, it proves that with the right spiritual help, a person can remain faithful wherever he is, anywhere, and any time. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. God will not let the devil spring some temptation on you that he has not already used on somebody else. God will not leave himself without a witness. For every person who says, "You don't know what pressure I was under. I had to go on drugs." Well, there will always be somebody who will say, "I was under the same pressure, and I didn't do it." For every person who falls before immorality, there will be always somebody who will say, "I had the same temptation, and I didn't do it." God will not leave himself without a witness. A way of escape will be provided. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm and dare to make it known. Paul also says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ." Ladies and gentlemen, hast thy God been able to deliver thee from the lion's den of devilishness? Then how about the lion's den of division among those who believe that on Jesus through the word of the apostles? The den of division. I heard a man one time in a large assembly pray, "O Lord, there are over 350 different denominations, and I thank you for every single one of them." I don't know how he could be serious considering the fact that Jesus prayed in John 17:20, "Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also who believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, even as the Father and me are in one, I are in one, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me." Jesus knew if the churches were split up in different denominational names, people would not even believe that he had been sent. However, in 1 Peter 5:8, the apostle calls the roaring lion that walks about, seeking whom he may devour. He has fragmented the body of Christ into many denominational names. Paul gives us the best outline of unity in Ephesians 4, verses 4, 5, and 6, when he said, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is in all and through all." There are several references that explain this outline of unity. Colossians 1:18 helps us understand the one body and the one Lord when Paul says there that Jesus is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Since the body is the church, and Jesus is the head of the body, a body can have but one head. That takes care of the one body and the one Lord. What Jesus said in John 14:6 expresses the one hope. "No one cometh unto the Father but by me." And then the one baptism and the one Father is explained in Matthew 3:16, "And Jesus went up straightway from the water, and God said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then the one Spirit is mentioned when Jesus told the apostles in John 16, verse 8, after he would ascend, the Comforter would come and convict the world in respect of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment. And then the best description of the one faith is in Acts 6, 7. And the word of God increased, and a great company of the priest became obedient unto the faith. The one faith is more than affirming that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Faith includes an obedient faith, a faith that obeys the terms of pardon, a faith that causes you to live the Christian lifestyle. So dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm and dare to make it known. Hast thy God been able to deliver thee from the den of division? And then one more den, the lion's den of death. That roaring lion that Peter mentioned, your adversary the devil, is walking about seeking to devour the entire human race in the den of death. When Daniel was put in a lion's den, they made sure he could not escape. A stone was laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be altered. They wanted to be sure that Daniel did not escape the lions in the den. But then think of the den of death in the tomb of the Lord Jesus. They also made the tomb sure. They went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone, the guard being with them. And the result is, with Daniel, Daniel said, "My God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me." And of Jesus, the angel came and sat on the stone, rolled it away. And of Jesus, Peter said on the day of Pentecost, "This Jesus did God raise up, for it was not possible that the bonds of death should hold him." The devil could not hold Jesus in the lion's den of the grave, because death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, and neither will the devil that has devoured many and will devour many more be able to hold the Christian in the grave. Listen to the triumphant cry of Paul in 1 Corinthians 5:57, when he said, "Thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 3,000 people believed and were stricken with convictionitis on the day the church began, and they asked the apostles what they must do. Peter gave the words of deliverance when he said, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. And now, ladies and gentlemen, this final question: hast thy God been able to deliver thee? Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Until next week at the same time, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.
For God is just a prayer.